Welcome to Enough, the Minimal Mac Podcast. I'm your host, Patrick Roan, and I'd like to thank this week's sponsor, and that is Fantastical. Fantastical is your new assistant. Say hello. Fantastical from FlexiBits is a calendar like no other. You'll actually enjoy using your calendar. Just type in your event in natural English, such as Lunch with Matthew on Friday, and Fantastical will automatically convert your text input into an event and stick it on your calendar. It's great. With its beautiful calendar and event list, your events have never been easier to manage. Plus, with Fantastical's built-in CalDAV support, all your events will sync to the cloud directly without requiring iCal or any other apps to be open. It will all just work. Fantastical, your Mac calendar will never be the same again. Get your free trial now from FlexiBits. That's FlexiBits.com. Hey there, Mike.
Hello, sir.
And hello, Mr. Dave Kalo. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Oh, doing all right. Welcome back once again.
Can't get rid of him.
No, he's on every episode. I think we should just have him for every episode now. Make him a
third host. I'm like a lingering odor.
Yes, but a fresh one.
Ah,
a nice smelling one. So
we're glad someone said it.
Yeah, exactly. So wanted to have you on yet again because we couldn't let you escape without doing the Enough For with you. We'll give you the shtick and pause for a possible jingle. Okay.
So please don't put that stress on me. I haven't got one yet. I'm still thinking. If anyone either can give me a good idea for a jingle, or better yet, wants to create a jingle, then send it to mike@thebroshow.co.uk. There you go.
Yeah, we would love that. Seriously, that's a serious request, folks. So here's the shtick, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The most minimal computer, you know, Macintosh computer that Apple sells, in my mind, is the 64 gigabyte MacBook Air 11-inch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take all your other computers away.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you this 11-inch, 64 gig MacBook Air.
Okay.
Maybe you have one other computer that you like, but this is going to kind of be your main machine. You're going to get some serious work done on this thing, right?
Sure.
So, dealing with the constraint that you have with the space, what would constitute enough for you?
All right, I'll go through what I would need to get my work done. So no fun stuff. And I'll try to put them in order of essential order. So what would be the... Okay. I simply could not live without. I'd say tied for first are Safari and Mail. Of course, I can't opt out of them, but I need both of them desperately.
Right. And those, by the way, anything that comes on the machine is a give me, right? That's a...
Right.
Obviously, you get that. You get that out of the box.
Right. The first third-party app would definitely be Colloquy, which is an IRC client for the Mac. At Tua, or tuaw.com, Colloquy, or IRC, really, is our office. When you're on duty, you're in the IRC office, and that's how we communicate throughout the day, really. I absolutely need to be in IRC, and Colloquy is the app that I like to use, not only on my Mac, but on my iPad and iPhone, but we're not talking about those right now.
but there is an iPad and iPhone version of that as well.
Ooh, all right. So that's the first...
Oh, no, I'm asking, is there?
Oh, yes, and it works very, very well. I like it a lot.
All right. Okay, cool. All right. That's great. That's not much. You got maybe 100 megs in an app like that, right?
Yeah.
It can't be big.
It's very tiny. Right.
Yeah.
Next is, let's see. I can't say TextEdit because that is included. Next is going to be... Oh, let's see. Let's say NetNewsWire. For sure, because my job requires me to spend an inordinate amount of time staring at RSS feeds and net news wires, how I like to do it. I think the layout is very attractive. I like how I can organize things with folders and priority and that sort of thing. And again, that's only 3 megs, so I'm not taking up much space with net news wire.
You're not a reader person, Dave.
Well, reader's not 1.0 yet, and access to RSS is so essential to me that I just can't put it on a beta. You know, I have to have an app that I know is going to do everything I want to do every day. And reader might be awesome when it's 1.0, and I'll try it out for sure, but I just can't, you know, depend on beta software for work.
I still think you should try it out because it's fine. It's what I use. Try it, Dave.
Come to the dark side, Dave.
It's much nicer over here.
If I do, I'll let you know.
Just out of curiosity, how many feeds do you subscribe to?
I don't even know.
Hundreds? Thousands?
Hundreds.
Hundreds.
Yeah. The one problem that I've seen over the years, especially the past year, is how little time I have for pleasure reading on the web, because all day long I'm working, and when I usually, you know, cut off in the afternoon, and then I have family time, and then it's 7 or 8, and then I go to work on 52 Tiger. So I don't really have a lot of time to just read the fun leisure sites I used to get to read, but that's neither here nor there as far as the 64 gig mag is concerned. Also essential is NVAlt, which is a version of Notational Velocity by my coworker and friend Brett Terpstra.
It's big fan, big fan.
It's extremely useful. It's 8 megs. I'm still doing well, Patrick, and I've used it for more and more. It syncs beautifully with SimpleNote, as I know you've pointed out before. It's very fast and lightweight, and I use it for reference and support files and really all sorts of things, but I would not want to be without it. NVAlt is one of my favorites.
Are you saving the database for that out as text files?
Plain text, yeah.
Yeah, plain text. And bonus points for actually saving that database in Dropbox as well?
Oh, of course.
Oh, well, see, there you go. And I mean, that means Dropbox goes on there, right?
Right. Dropbox, yes, yeah. I'm sorry, I should have mentioned that. Dropbox is absolutely essential.
Absolutely essential.
Yeah, I couldn't work without it. I could, but it would be miserable.
I agree with you. I agree.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see. We got Dropbox. What else? What else we got going on?
OmniFocus is necessary because, well, as I've said in another episode, I usually have many projects going on at one time, as I'm sure you and your listeners do too. And OmniFocus really allows me to keep track of what I need to do and what I need to do today and all that sort of thing. It's a great solution.
Yeah, agreed. I'm a big fan. I've been a big fan since the beginning, but as I've discussed before, it hasn't always been. It's always been more than what I needed, but up until maybe a couple months ago, and now I need that kind of power, and so yeah, it's like bringing a nuclear bomb to a gunfight, you know what I
mean? Yeah, you're definitely gonna win.
There's no question about it. It may kill you doing it, but you know,
that's right.
You'll be the one who fires the last shot, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's right. And maybe the only shot, you never know.
Maybe the only shot, yeah.
I also rely on 1Password pretty heavily. Just because
same here.
I don't like memorizing all those passwords, and even worse, I don't like using the same password over and over again, because that is what we call a bad idea.
as you know, a couple million Sony users are finding out
every day.
I was just going to say that I just saw on the news that 67% of those who in this most recent Sony hack, where they discover the passwords, 67% use the same password on Sony as they did on their Gawker Media accounts. And wow. That's after the Gawker Media hack, where they forced everyone to change their passwords and such.
Oh, so that suggests they simply changed it back to what they had been using.
Yes.
Wow.
Or they didn't change it at all.
Or just use a different password on Gawker.
Or, right. But the point is that, yeah, it's one password is not only absolutely essential, but should be mandatory. It really should be.
It should. I won't hand this over to you until you promise to install one password.
One password and to use it, yeah. You're actually not doing too badly here, Dave.
I'm not doing too badly. I do need a Twitter client, and I use Twitter for Mac because of the blue dot. The blue dot makes it so essential. If you have multiple accounts like I do, and it shows, you know, the icon for each account in that left-hand sidebar, and then as you get new messages, at replies, or direct messages from each one of those accounts, it places a blue dot next to its icon. So I can know, literally at a glance, which accounts have at replies waiting, which have DMs waiting, and which have simple stream messages waiting. And it's just extremely convenient and useful, especially when I have to jump around, you know, Twitter streams that I essentially use as RSS. It's extremely useful. I love it. I love it for the blue dot.
The blue dot. Yeah. I agree. I think as much as my love-hate relationship with Twitter has been going lately, I do think Twitter for Mac is the, you know, is a great client to use. There's no question about it. I'm almost afraid to call it the best because, well, then I'm going to get a bunch of hate mail from people. But it's pretty darn good. So once again, you're still not doing badly here, Dave.
I'm not doing too badly.
I really think you've got like 30 gigs left on this Mac.
All right. Here comes a biggie. I've got to have Scrivener for large writing projects. It's just, I don't know if you've used it or if your listeners have used it, but if you're writing a very large project, it allows you to keep things organized nicely. You can save your reference material in a nice, orderly fashion. You can, you know, sort your chapters and stuff the way you want. You can tag them as in progress or first draft or review or whatever you want. You can sync it with Dropbox. You can sync it with TextEdit for the iPad, which I do. It's kind of a big piece of software, and it's a little pricey, but if you're running a large project, it's a great way to go, and I absolutely love Scrivener, and I need to have it.
Yeah, I've given Scrivener a few tries now, and it just doesn't. Scrivener is a very specific way of writing that you either have to be able to kind of mold yourself to, or, you know, or it fits well with how you already, think of writing projects and writing that kind of thing. And for whatever reason, it's never been my bag, not my cup of tea, but, you know, I know tons of people that swear by it. And I know that for any writer, they should at least give it a look.
Sure.
I think the trial is fairly generous.
Yeah, I want to say
it's a 30-day trial.
I want to say it is, but don't quote me. I think it's pretty generous.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah, it's generous enough, and I think anyone who downloads it and, you know, kind of starts plugging pieces of a book into it will quickly know whether or not it's the right fit for them.
That's true. Yeah. Now let me ask you, Pat. Then when you wrote your book, Keeping It Straight, what did you use?
TextEdit.
He did the whole thing in TextEdit.
Of course he did.
Wow, that's impressive, my friend.
Do you know who you're talking to?
I know, but come on, that's a lot of pages, man. Yow!
You want to know a dirty little secret?
I do, of course.
Everything that I have written for this next book, and so far I've got what amounts to about maybe 20... you know, chapters, bad way to put it, and, you know, 20 essays, let's just say, for this next book. I've written all of those on the iPad using plain text, and on the on-screen keyboard.
Wow. And do you just sync to Dropbox?
I got a syncing. Yeah, I got a syncing to Dropbox
for
yeah.
backups in case who knows. You know, the yeah, worst case scenario.
Yeah, and I've done some of the editing of those pieces on my iPhone.
Wow. Oh man, you're hardcore.
And I plan to write the entire thing that way. I mean, I may falter. There may reach a point where, or something that will cause me to have to work on it on the air. But my goal is to attempt to write the whole thing using only iOS.
Wow. Because then he can write a book about how he did that.
The process is the product, right, Patrick?
Where have I heard that before? That's a great idea.
I saw actually. It on this. I saw it on this great website that writes about Macs and using technology intelligently. It was really cool.
Oh, can you tell me that one? It sounds like they could do a podcast.
Yeah. But I mean, I think it's so. I should be clear. So with you know, I did the bulk of the writing and text edit for Keeping It Straight because you know that's pretty much how I've been writing most of my you know most of the stuff for my personal website patrickrone.com, and a lot of the stuff that went into Keeping It Straight came from there. Okay. So that and that might be a little bit misleading because also for some of those things, I'm sure at one point or another, I used Mac Journal. Mac Journal is how I post a lot of things to patrickrone.com. It's from my friends at Mariner Software, and I love, love, love it. You know who else is a big fan of Mac Journal? David Cartier from...
who is he?
From, yeah, yeah, he uses Mac Journal for everything.
Oh, wow, cool.
From Macworld.
Oh yeah,
he's one of the senior writers or editor or senior editors or I don't know what his official title is at Macworld, but
yeah,
you know, he's Macworld. But yeah, he's a big Mac Journal fan.
That's cool,
and it's a great program. In any case, I digress. So really, even with Scrivener, you're still doing well. Now I got to talk about photos and pictures and music and all that stuff. How are you handling that?
Well, and this. For photos and pictures and music, I am a plain old-fashioned consumer. I use iTunes and iPhoto. because, well, they work well. I'm not a photographer. I don't shoot RAW. I don't have a, whatever they're called, a single reflex thing.
DLSR.
Yeah. It's so hard to remember these things. But so I don't need Aperture or Lightroom or any of these fancy apps. I'm not a photographer. I like to say I'm a snapshotter. So I do birthday pictures of the kids and that kind of thing. And for me, the iLife apps work perfectly. So those are what I use.
And now you got the 64 gig Air there.
Mm-hmm.
And so how are you going to, I mean, some of that stuff, even if you're not a casual, you know, if you're a casual music listener and a casual photo taker, still some of that stuff can take up gigs and gigs and gigs and gigs of storage space, right?
Yes.
That's
going to be problematic on my 64 gig Mac. Now, I can get away with music and podcasts because I can listen to music through RDO or listen to podcasts through, what's it called? I always want to call it Telecaster, but that's
Instacast.
Yeah,
Instacast.
So I can use that, and so I don't have to worry about having local copies of my podcast, and I don't have to worry about having local copies of my music, although I do like to. But photos is tricky because, well, you know, you have a young child, Patrick. You end up taking obscene amounts of photos, and I do too. I guess I could do careful curation and really delete the ones that you don't want to keep. Because, you know, the freedom of digital encourages you to just shoot crazily. You know, if you're out shooting at a birthday party or a walk in the woods or whatever, you can just sort of commit to keeping the top 10 photos and deleting the rest, even if they're mediocre. Or I could just move my iPhoto library to an external disk, which I might do.
Yeah.
But now I've got that clunking thing around.
Yeah. Well, and I, you know, I mean, the thing is that, you know, iCloud is going to change some of this stuff, allegedly, right?
Right.
It's that With, for instance, all those photos that you take on your iPhone can stay on your iPhone, and you can view them and access them and email them and stuff like that with the photo stream thing from your Mac. So if you're on your Mac, you can access those photos that are in iCloud that came off your iPhone or your iPad or what have you, right? Mm,
yep, that's going to be nice.
You know, and the same thing with music, right, is that, you know, maybe you've purchased all of this music elsewhere and you just want to be able to go and grab a couple of albums or, you know, a few dozen albums even that you have, you know, somewhere else, and you can easily download those to the, you know, to the Mac and listen to those on the fly. And I guess what's even greater is, like, you know, although this is a pain in the butt and a lot of management, but there's nothing stopping anyone under this new kind of world that we're about to live in from basically, oh, hey, I want to listen to that album. I'm just going to go and download it and listen to it and delete it when I'm done.
Yeah, I mean, Apple has perfected the impulse purchase, haven't they, with the App Store and the iPhone. And why not extend that to music? I mean, obviously, you can download music whenever you want now, pretty much, you know, depending on the size of the song. But that's going to make it even easier, isn't it? So if you're in the store and you hear that song, oh, boy, I'd like to hear that song in its entirety right now, or I'd like to hear the other song on that album, you're just a few taps away from doing exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or and then, you know, on a Mac, you can very easily, or on any device for that matter, because they're all on an even playing field, according to Apple now, but you can delete it when it's done and know that you can just go re-download it again later if you want it again later.
Yeah, and that's really big. If I need to move something for space, it's not gone. I can grab it again at a later date without a problem.
Yeah, so that might be one way of, at least, you know, until Apple does finally roll out streaming of this stuff, to manage that on something like the Air, is to, you know, hey, I want to hear this song or that song, and I'm not at home, you know, I don't have my external drive with me, what have you. I'm out and about traveling. You can just go download it from iCloud and listen, and then when you're done, you know, delete it. Don't need to keep it there, because you can just go download it again next time you need it. So, oh wow. So is that everything? Have we covered everything that you think you need to get some real work done on this Air? Are we missing anything that you can think of?
No, that's fairly it. I have to say the only other thing is photo editing. I mean, I don't really do a lot of the photos that I post to Tua in iPhoto, because that would just be, you know, overkill. I typically use Preview, to tell you the truth, to edit almost every photo I publish. Really, I would say 99% of the photos, all I've got to do is crop or resize, so there isn't really need for an app at all other than Preview, which I absolutely love. You can do so much with it with photos, more than most people realize.
But, yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I know you use it for photos as well. Is that right?
Yeah, I love using Preview for basic editing and cropping and all of that stuff. Pretty much anything that you see me direct post to Minimal Mac, I've done all of that work in Preview.
Yeah, very nice. So I think I get off kind of easy in that I write for a living, so I don't need, you know, like a Final Cut or the Adobe Suite or anything like that. So I'm able to pass the 64 gig test pretty nicely.
Yeah, well, indeed. See, there you go. See, and beforehand, before we talked, you were actually worried about this. You're like, oh, I don't know if you're going to like what I've got.
Patrick, one thing you'll learn is I'm worried about everything and I'm afraid of everyone. So just just okay. Accept that and you'll be okay.
All right, noted. Well, thank you very much, sir. Really appreciate having you on, and you know, we now know what is enough for you. So I'm sure you'll be running out and getting a 64 gig MacBook Air 11 inch as soon as this is over, because you won't be winning one as a prize from here. But Dave, why don't you remind people once again, where you can be found online and where you prefer to be contacted, if there's feedback, all that stuff.
Sure. You can find me at the unofficial app weblog, which is tuaw.com. You can also find me at 52tiger.net. That's number 52tiger.net, which is my own site. I also do a podcast with Mike over there at 11 Minutes. And I do another podcast with some other friends on science fiction, which is called the Sci-Fi Cast. And you can find both of those in iTunes or online.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate that. And thank you very much for being on and being a guest for 3 episodes now. That's a new guest record, so you can collect your prize on your way out the door.
Awesome.
And outside of that, I guess Mike and Dave, we'll talk later.
Thanks, Tom. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Cheers.